Kedril, give us some thoughts here on your role swap, right? Because obviously people were pretty harsh on you when you were a mid laner. You made the swap to jungle. I can't necessarily judge what happened in this team because obviously this team was up and down, changing rosters, bringing in different players. Both lineups in the end had bad performances, so it's not as though it was just one group sucked and the other was great. Give us some thoughts on the role swap, why you did it, how you think it's worked out.
Yeah, it was something I was thinking about for months and months before we qualified for LCS with Schalke the year before, because I enjoyed it so much, and I was like, I found like revitalized when I was playing the role in solo queue, so I was just playing it a lot. And then when I actually did decide to role swap and I had the chance to play on the weekend, you can ask Kelsey how terrible I was. Like, we had one scrim set, I think it was against Vitality, and we like perfect gamed them two games, and I was like, holy shit, like I'm so good at jungle, it's gonna be free wins from the rest from now on, you know. And then yeah, we just got really hard stomped and I was just trolling. But then when I actually took time away and practiced, I think I got really good at it. And I think it showed in the LCS in the last few weeks.
Do you remember earlier in the split where for funsies, they asked a bunch of players who the worst player in the LCS was? And I can tell you, Kedril, the consensus among the players they asked was amazing, which is obviously in stark contrast to how amazing himself views his own game, because he always thinks he is amazing. So tell me, Kedril, what do you think of amazing? Because obviously his team won the series here. He's got some good players. Has he had issues?
I mean, just to start off from like solo queue, at least he's like diamond two in solo queue, and he just ints every solo queue game I play against him if I ever get him somehow. And okay, I think that his mechanics are really terrible. So that's like the main point, I think. So, and then when it comes to Sage games, like I've only played him once and we never really scrimmed Schalke, but from everyone's opinions of telling me, apparently he's really bad. But obviously he's helped Schalke get better somehow, because they finished top four in the regular split and they finished bottom three in the spring split. So something must have changed, and he must have done something to help them, obviously. So I guess I could give him credit there. So he's like a good leader and he can help people out in replays and stuff and get them better at the game. But as far as I can see, his mechanics are really bad. When I played against him, I wasn't like impressed at all. And everyone's opinion of him is, yeah, he's not the greatest.
I just want to say that we actually do have two good junglers on the show, in my opinion. Like, the Unicorns of Love and H2K may not have done that well, but I actually think that we have, like, both Colt and Kedril are very strong junglers in their own right. So
beautiful words.
Pandering high five, Colt. Yes. We'll now return to the real brutal analysis which the show is famous. So,
but it's true. Like, you can banter and stuff, and I'm just like clarifying as well, because I do think it's important to have like takes that are solid. Yes.
Obviously, it just doesn't work, does it? Especially when you're playing the best team.
You haven't pointed out the obvious thing yet, which is that Kedril actually does play mid, and Shook actually does play jungle.
I didn't want to point that out, because in a world in which the two players who are in the game are deciding in basically the entire course of the game without consulting the coaches, then just telling the coaches they're going to do it. They're real coaches in hospital on painkillers. At that point, I didn't think that like highest on the priority was like, why is the old mid laner playing jungler and then the jungler who's never played mid playing mid? That hadn't even crossed my mind at that point, eventually. I was in the H2K world at this point in time, you know.
It was a really unlucky scenario, actually, because Selfie's doctor basically said that he wasn't allowed to work for the next few weeks. I had no such note, but in Germany, if you had that note, you couldn't do it no matter what. So we had...
Oh, for like labor laws or something.
Yeah, so we had to bring in Larson for Selfie after that, and then Sheriff ended up having personal problems, so Shook had to play AD carry, and that was against Misfits, and we almost won that game. Like, the last few weeks where Kedril came in basically with a complete clusterfuck, and he got really screwed over by it. But I actually think he did really well in all those matches. One of the reasons why I'll defend him is because he was really a victim of some really strange circumstances when he came in. You'd think he'd come in and have a team, and for weeks, things were just going long left, right, and center.
The worst part is, like, the 0-12 rubbed off on me, because I didn't play all those 12 games that they lost, but for some reason, everyone seems to think that I win 0-12, so I'm just like...
I saw the Reddit comments.
I think if you fuck up once with this playstyle, you're out the game for the rest of the game. Yeah. Like, if you make one mistake, you're just completely spent.
But that's why you don't see many people do this.
It's really high risk, like, mediocre reward.
Did you like their support fiddlesticks?
It was so useless. Oh my god. You know how hard he was inting for his life. Sure. Like, he just goes in and dies, and everyone goes in and dies, but yeah.
It's fine. He pushed, and then Mowgli got to just perma and invade your bot side. So long as they have lanes like that, I think they're fine playing this jungle style.
I mean, I'm like, if they want to, like, go fiddle into Sejuani Brown, like, I'm all armored. I'll just pop you in every fight, but yeah.
That's actually the first time I've ever heard Cadrill attempt some actual trash talk. He still said it in like a very sort of like pleasant manner. Oh, he's like, if you go then I will fuck you up, bruv. The unique thing of League and Dota is the sheer information burden of how many matchups there are. Because if you have like 100 plus champions and all the combinations that you can have, and then in obviously Dota's even worse because sometimes the champions can heroes can go to every position. Like that's part of what you're playing then. It's not just about how good you are and your champion. Like who says you're even going to get your champion? And if you do, this is the thing that people underestimate. It's actually one of the cases I made for Leader coming in, when everyone's like, his champion pool's stupid. It's like, mate, on his champions, he's fucking sick. Like, if he plays his champion, he knows all the matchups that he's going to play it against. So there's definitely different factors that always go, like, by the way. And part of it's because there's no scoreboard that these things can show up on. You know, you have to just be in the team and know it, or you have to know that guy, you know. So I guess, in part, like, it's sort of our fault as well on these shows that we do just speculate like mad and we never quite know, but... I get pissed off is, yeah, when the people in the teams don't get it right. Like, come on, mate, you're literally there behind him. Like, if I could just go over and tap Nemesis on the shoulder and say, what the fuck are you doing there? Like, obviously I would, but I don't think he'd appreciate it. Like, what the fuck, Thorin's just a bit behind me. It's like, yeah, by the way. And then I'd just gag him, obviously put him in a cupboard and then bring Febbervan out. So.
Oh, God. Leave the boy alone.
Actually, you know what? He's even a player I'll take as an example of that, an extreme example of it. Because you know what? This is how mad 2021 is. We know the world. It is the end of the world. Like, I'm going to now defend Nemesis.
I
like,
agree.
In no universe should Nemesis not be in the LEC. If he didn't get that, like, here's the thing. I know if he had, like, offers from maybe the worst team, maybe he didn't want to join him. Maybe you don't want to join for, like, a lower side. I get all that, right? But, like, I don't even know what world we live in where the teams like Excel, these, like, why are you, you don't want Nemesis? Dude, like, beggars can't be choosers. Like, you need a player like Nemesis. Like, I'd say it for like half the teams in the league, mate. Like, he could definitely be. And by the way, the idea he couldn't play in LCS. Are you kidding me? Have you seen mid lane in LCS? This guy would be one of the best players in the league in LCS.
He would be top five in LCS for sure.
Some of the Fnatic stories, season 9, season 10, will never come out. Some of them might be alluded to. In fact, there might be a piece of content soon where some of it gets revealed. But you know what? Generally, it's going to be like that story that Jezzis told on the Crackdown about Reckless, where in season 7, he was just off in a room on his own practicing and refused to play from the same room as us and his teammates because he didn't think they were good enough for him. Even though he was winning the MVP, again, he was being hailed as an amazing player. He actually was probably the best Western AD carry at the time. But yeah, that's the thing. People are going to build this false image, and I ain't gonna stand for that, quite frankly. So here's the thing. You go and look at my content during his slumps in Fnatic, and already the story that I'm just to hear, it doesn't add up. I made content where I said he should definitely be in LEC. I said he's a mid-table team player in terms of his attitude. Now he's going to play in the team, so he should have been on an Excel, a Schalke. These are the teams I always thought he was more suited for. And at the time, before they became the best mids in the LCS/LEC, he should have been, back in season 9, considered in the pay group of the Larsens and the Humanoids of the world. When you put him into the perks caps category, now we can't really have a discussion. Now you've made it ridiculous. Now at that point in time, you've made it so he's going to only sound like he's getting hated on and being called shit, because contrasted to those players, if the entire scale is how do you contrast against caps, Nemesis is shit. If it's how does he contrast against Larsen and Humanoid from season 9, we can have an interesting discussion there. We can go back and forth. And if you want to ask how he contrasts to the bottom mids in LEC, he was much better. He was a much better individual player. He had a lot of setup for him, sure, but he could deliver on it to some degree against those level of players and what they were. Many fanboys, particularly Fnatic fanboys online, just as with TSM or in the other region, who, due to upvotes and downvotes, or due to en masse spamming opinions, or due to attacking anyone, this is why a lot of pro players and coaches are very careful talking about these specific teams and their players and problems, and where they wouldn't be about another team, even a great team like a G2 or Cloud9, is because the influence of these shitters skews the discussion and just warps it completely out of bounds. It just makes it completely pointless. Like, one of the things I'll never tolerate
was the idea that when Perks was one of the best mids in the league, or Caps was one of the best mids in the league, they were going to make it because, like, oh, well, technically, maybe Nemesis could be, like, third or fourth. And they made it sound like that meant he was close to Perks or Caps. He was closer to the mids below him than the gap between him and Caps and Perks. And that's just go back and watch. Even when Caps had his issues, still what he could do on the map and the influence he had over his team and his junglers far exceeded anything Nemesis was able to do at the time. Nemesis was just simply a good mid laner at the time. So this is just cope from a lot of these fans. It's why they can't ever actually attack your points. They have to just go with, like, you must hate him. Oh, you're lying. Oh, make stuff up. Oh, you just say things for drama. Oh, you just criticise him because he's box office and that gets you all the hits. Haven't you noticed how these players come and go? My channels remain. My talk shows remain fire. I get the next generation of players. I don't need these motherfuckers. I don't need you. If that's you, you know what? Jog on. This ain't the right saloon for you, partner. So mosey on out. You just go down to the next one. I'm sure there's some dog shit one for morons who like Fnatic. Isn't the content for you guys? I think LEC makes it, don't they? Roll. When they become talent, even if they become the best talents in the world, mate, I can tell you a lot of them still harbour the dream of, like, oh, what if? Some of them even naively really do think, I might go back one day. Even though it's like, you won't, mate, it's years ago now. Forget, like, somehow I hate to see us go, mate, are bad for that. They keep thinking, but mate, maybe there is an angle I join my old teammate. So, right, the question, even though it might sound like I'm trying to torture you here, is this actually looks like you quit exactly the wrong moment, Cadrell. Like, I actually get the vibe if you'd have stuck with it. I think Youngbuck liked you. I think he would have kept you. I think you could maybe have stayed in this team. The only we're going to get potentially slightly better. Could you have stuck it out a couple more? Should you? Obviously, we have to pretend we don't know you succeeded in the casting world, though. That is a game changer. But if you didn't know it, what do you think?
It's something I think about a lot. Well, not a lot. I used to think about a lot. It's been like two, almost 3 years now. So, it's hard to think about now. I don't really think about it often, but a year or two into casting, I was like, what if I stayed? You know, I had, looking back, I had 3 LEC offers from like mid-tier teams and like 4 LCS offers. So I had like a lot of avenues I could go through, you know, like Dignitas, Immortal, CLG, all that bullshit. Didn't really want to go to NA. And then like the Astralis, SKs of the world. And I said to myself, do I really want to sit here just like on another shit roster or another like bottom tier budget team and just grind it out and be a paycheck stealer? Like, do I just want to keep getting paid to lose? And then as much as I could self-reflect and be like, well, I could, you know, go on this roster and win. And, you know, maybe I can make a miracle run or something like this. And then after a year, I can go to G2 or Fnatic and someone will pick me up. I wasn't good enough. Like if I had an offer from a top 5 team, Mad Lions, Vitality, something like this, yeah, I would 100% have stayed, 100%. But I just lost faith in the bottom tier teams and just thought, there's no point in me just riding out my career for 2 years and then disappearing. So I'll try something new, just go into casting, see what the fuck happens. And I guess the sad reality of it is I never really achieved anything on like the highest level. Never won a title, never went to Worlds. And that's something that will stick with me forever because I can never go back. So if someone ever says like, hey, but does your opinion really matter? You've never been to Worlds. It's like, well, I mean, you're right. But I mean, I guess you can apply that logic to everyone who talks about the game, right?
Sure.
So now I spend my time. Actually, I think I understand the game maybe better now because I just watch so much League.
Yes.
And as a spectator, it's much easier. Obviously, I'm worse at jungle. At the actual individual role, I'm probably clueless compared to the LEC junglers now. But just like the overall game, it just feels easier to digest and like learn. But going back, if I was to go back, I think I would make the same decision, unknowing of what the casting career would look like. Because I think in the first year of casting, I was still almost LEC level because I was not streaming as much and just playing jungle quite a lot. I even did like this challenge against Agarin where I hit like really high elo on Lee Sin, for example. So I felt like I had skill still. But now I think I've lost a lot of skill because I play maybe like 3 solo queues a week because I'm just streaming co-stream all the time or on the LEC or doing meetings or podcasts. So I wonder what life would be like. You know, I wish there was just a glass you could look through or like a jar or like
a simulator mysterious, to see what happens.
Yeah, just what happened, you know, just right. To know if you were right or wrong. You know, yes. Look down that. Maybe I become fucking washed up and I get kicked. Maybe I win the LEC and I join G2 and I'm with Caps right now. And I'm fucking winning MSI. I don't know, you know.
The thing, once I'm finished with some of the other names I've got on my hit list, I'll get to this guy eventually. Not that I'm saying that, listen, he doesn't have any like outrageous thing of like some fucking, you should be fired just for that. But he has the ones where he's the whiner. I've heard the stories, mate. I've even heard his friends make excuses for him or try to like blame other people to counteract the stories, even though they've heard the stories too. Like, just look at it on stream for long enough. Yeah, certain topics, he might be smiley, laughing, he might be having fun. Sure, it's all good. Might be winning the game. If you watch him enough on stream, you can tell he can come off a bit whiny, can't he? A bit sulky, blames others. Seems like he has to get his way. He can only really play the game his way, and the game has to be his way, and that's the only right way to play. Well, imagine he was in a team under pressure and there was a team better than him and he perceived them better players and better staff. Fucking hell, I think you're starting to understand some of the issues now, aren't you? Now, the other problem is he also seems to be someone who thinks he's better than he is. And also, just like his fans, they want to like he wants to seemingly exclude himself from the blame. So he gets to go in the category, what, with people like Caps and Perks and stuff? Yeah, okay, bro. Okay. Did you ever win a trophy? I'm missing something. Like a real LEC? No, nothing. No major region. Nah. Oh, I didn't want that. Julian Ulcius, if you heard the fucking teams he turned down, man alive. The ego on this guy. And remember, last time he played in LEC was in 2020. It's fucking 2024. Just forget about it already. This isn't even supposed to just be your Nemesis Roast video, but it's turned into one, hasn't it? Now imagine, after all that I've just said, imagine playing with him. Imagine coaching him. Imagine having to lock yourself in with a contract with him. I guess if you did, you'd be incompetent, right? Now, you know you never catch me, Dolo, online, because I'm rolling deep, and we dem boys. Who am I talking about? The Skrilluminati. So this video and the content on my channel is kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Jason, you know who my second in command is, Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for some of my content? Would you like to ask me a question in an AMA? Do you want to take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic? Maybe you want to see who upcoming guests are in my interviews and on my talk shows. Well, all of these perks and more are available to you if you put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. How? Via the Patreon link in the description box below.